Hello and welcome to the Red Phone Zone, where we don't know what we're talking about. I am Aaron Hoover. I am your host, owner, and executive producer. And tonight, Slytherin represents.
I am Shay Rinke, Vice President of Marketing for Eye of the Vortex Online.
I am Ethan Parker. I am the president of Gamers Haven Social Club and Podcasts.
All right.
I'm also the doctor.
You also the doctor?
I'm the doctor. I have his coat now.
Oh, you do?
That's right.
What did you think about that when you took it from him?
Well, he was regenerating at the time, so it didn't really matter.
What's Doctor Who the doctor of? Is it pediatrics?
He's the doctor.
He's just the doctor of doctoring? He's the doctoring of who?
No, he's just the doctor.
It's Aaron, or Shay, or Ethan. Mm-hmm. It's doctor.
Gotcha. So, what are we doing talking in this basement?
We got evicted from
underground
lair.
I mean, like, why do we even do this?
Why are we? We like talking about geek stuff.
We do like talking about geek stuff. This is a weekly geek cast. We are on our sixth episode, and I got to tell you, six and a half. Of zero.
Right.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm really excited because I am representing my Slytherin colors because this is our first ever special. We are going to be covering lots of good things Harry Potter. We're going to be covering, we're going to do a top six. Where we discuss the Harry Potter films in our favorite order with each of us. And we are debuting a new section that we're calling Versus, the geekiest thing that we will ever possibly do, where we take two seemingly unlikely to meet characters and we face them up against each other and discuss who would be the victor in said
battle.
In a steel cage.
Sunday. And this week we will be discussing who would win in a fight of Anakin Skywalker versus one Harry James Potter. Who's that?
I don't know.
Some guy. So.
He went to Hogwarts with you?
Yeah, he went to Hogwarts with me, but, you know, I kicked his butt, and I took his wand. Actually, I did not take his wand.
But Dumbledore's wand.
I took Dumbledore's wand, and I'd like to kind of show you guys. It's my, I'm rocking all my Potter gear. I'm loving it. I've got myself the Dumbledore wand. It's the master replicas, and I'd also like to point out that it's very super cool. It doesn't work, though.
I've tried.
It won't kill Shay. I want my money back. Yeah, I think it's cool. It looks good. I do want to point out that the Aaron in me thinks it's very, very, very cool that this came in this nice felt box with like the Ollivander logo on it and everything. But the geek in me says
it's
that
very chic.
Very chic.
There we go.
It's very pretty. Very pretty.
The logo right there.
And anyway. The geek in me says this wand was not purchased at Ollivander's. It was pulled off of a tree, but we will discuss that maybe at a future point, but we're not even discussing that chapter of the series. However, one of the first sections that we always do is called
Geekly Happenings,
where we discuss things that happen that is relevant to us geeks.
Yep.
Not stuff like world hunger and, you know, but movie casting, important stuff like that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Geekly Happenings, did anybody do any checking on the latest news with Harry Potter?
There was some sort of fire, wasn't there?
A fire on the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I haven't looked at any news for Harry Potter because we're discussing the current films and the books.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to, actually. That was my plan, was to look up Harry Potter news, but then all my computer sufferings.
Yeah.
Sure.
My excuse is I'm on spring break and I'm dealing with organizing a convention, so.
Yeah, CanCon, be there.
Well, my excuse is I'm kind of aware of it anyway. I mean, maybe not like up to date as far as how far they are into filming and stuff. And I'm very disappointed in Ethan. I told him to download the movie, and he told me, dude, it's not done yet. And I said, that's no excuse.
Yeah.
But
I told him, I offered that I would put on costumes and act out the film for him, but he said no.
Yes.
We can't do that in an hour.
But I don't know, if we're going to talk a little bit about Harry Potter news, in the Deathly Hallows film, the role of Rufus Scrimgeour, the new prime minister that takes over Cornelius Fudge's post, is going to be played by Bill Nye. You know him as
the science guy?
No, not the science guy. That'd be hilarious.
Bill Nye. He was the bad guy in two of the three Underworld movies.
Uh-huh. He was Davy Jones. He was awesome in Love Actually.
I forget his character's name, but he was in Shaun of the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
He also had a very...
Philip.
Was he the annoying annoying like lovesick one?
Yeah. No,
Phil. He was
Sean's stepfather.
Right. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he's not my dad.
Yeah, he was also briefly in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, he is awesome. I just really like him, and that's a good casting. I mean,
he's a great actor.
Oh, he is. He really is. He
in an interview before that, he said he was going on. It's like, I'm probably the only British actor that hasn't done a Harry Potter film. And then very shortly thereafter, he got cast in a Harry Potter film.
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird.
They heard that, found a part for him.
It worked for Samuel Jackson.
Yeah,
for Star Wars.
For Star Wars.
But he didn't say that. He said, I want to be in Star Wars. But he's all like, I haven't been in it, and that's all right. But at any rate, no, he got cast as Rufus Scrimgeour, the new Minister of Magic. What's weird is in the books, he actually shows up in the sixth book. He does not show up in the seventh book.
Mm-hmm.
He's briefly in the seventh book. Yeah. I'm kind of wondering how they're going to deal with that, but I suppose I'll wait for...
All the movies go through an approval process with J.K. Rowling.
I respect that, but it's one of those things where I don't think it's necessary.
Like, she makes concessions.
I've heard good things about how she's tried to be as hands-off as possible.
She's not hands-off at all.
That's what I heard.
But she's made concessions.
I just want to point out with any medium, there isn't a direct translation
ever.
And a lot of people don't get that.
No.
I don't see why people don't get that.
Me neither. I mean, it just does not happen.
It just doesn't work.
That.
You cannot take a... 600-700-800-page novel and condense it into 2 hours.
Well,
it doesn't work.
I understand that. It's something that, you know, always kind of set weird with me was, you know, they took the longest of the books was Order of the Phoenix, and they turned that into the shortest of all the films.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, that worked because a lot of the book was just, you know, internal, oh, woe is me, it sucks being the chosen one and all that crap. But as far as, you know, shortening books, they made a lot of cuts out of the Goblet of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I like that one.
The movie or the book?
The book and the movie.
I love the book.
But,
Fun movie.
They did the same thing in the sixth film. It's just they cut out the whole fight at the end of the movie.
However...
At the end of the book, there's a huge...
I know. However, the reasoning for doing that was they are splitting the seventh film into two movies, which I felt if they're going to split any of them into two movies, it should have been the fourth, honestly.
Yeah.
But what they're doing is they're going to move that fight to the beginning of the Deathly Hallows.
Interesting.
Or at least a fight. Obviously, it can't be that fight because they're up on the tower.
Yeah.
And
it is David Yates who's directing the new ones.
Yes. Yes. So he directed... did he direct? He's directed... did he direct Order of the Phoenix? Or no, I'm sorry, not Order.
He
Goblet of Fire.
Mike Newell, and then it was David Yates.
David
Yates has done them all since then.
Yeah, okay.
The fifth one.
Sure. And then the first two were Christopher Columbus, and the third was Alfonso Cuarón.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to get a little bit off topic here with Harry Potter.
Yes, and we need to talk about Green Lantern again.
We do need to talk about Green Lantern again.
What happened with Green Lantern?
Well, hold on. Before I want to get this, we were, you know, in all of our frustrations last week, and we, you know, only getting the show posted today, we weren't able to look up stuff, even though we had ample time.
Yeah.
So I need to point out that Carol Ferris...
Organizing a convention.
Yeah. I did some research about things we didn't know last week. Carol Ferris in the Green Lantern movie has been cast by Blake Lively. She is a 22-year-old actress. She's best known for... she was in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, and she was in... other things like that.
Other movies.
But, you know, that's a funny thing to say, but it's the truth. I mean, it is other movies like that. She was in Gossip Girl. She's in that. She's 22 years old, which I pointed out is kind of weird because Ryan Reynolds is 33 and Peter Sarsgaard is 39. So I just like, well, whatever. I mean, everybody wants a young
chick. But anyway.
So, Green Lantern. And what I'm now discussing is the recent casting is the casting of one Angela Bassett as Amanda Waller, which is interesting to say the least. Angela Bassett, beautiful woman. Beautiful, beautiful
solid
woman.
Solid
actress. My choice to play Storm in the original X-Men movie. She's going to do a good job, but honestly, if I had cast Amanda Waller in a movie, it'd be CCH Pounder.
Because
she did the voice.
The character in the Justice League cartoon.
Uh-huh. And she looks the part. She acts the part.
However, they might be going for a younger version of her.
Honestly,
I see... And maybe... I've
heard a lot of parallels to the Nick Fury thing in Marvel. I've heard parallels to that. And they probably are going for a younger and more attractive. But, Amanda Waller's like a short-haired, plump, mean black woman in the comics and the, everything. And I think it's interesting, to say the least.
They're going to sex her up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She's super sexy. Yeah. Angela Bassett's a very, very beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she's in her 40s now. Mm-hmm. Almost 50, I think.
Yeah, I never looked up her age. She's beautiful. I mean, really? CCH Pounder's got to be... I don't know.
CCH Pounder's a fantastic actress.
Oh, yeah.
As well, very a good character actress.
It was funny listening to people like... I don't even think of his name. The creator of the animated series, Batman the Animated Series.
Bruce Timm?
But Bruce Timm talking about CCH Pounder when they're calling her in to play Amanda Waller, because she played her in several episodes.
Yep.
And every single time that she called her, they called her and said, "Oh, what do you want me to play?" It's like, "The same character you played last time." "What? I don't remember that. What was it?" And she was just like really disconnected from the role, but she nailed it.
It's just a sign. I think she's a great actress.
Oh, yeah, she is.
She works. She's like in 12 different series at a time.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I know.
She's on some sort of Law and Order or something like that.
She's shown up on there. She was on The Shield for quite a while.
Shield,
so.
You're right. It was a while. I didn't realize that.
It's showing on for, I want to say, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is the Shield still?
No, it's
Shield
still.
No, it's finally over.
And you should see the last season. It's really good.
The whole series is really good.
Not a huge cop show guy.
Amazing. What else is happening? Geekly happenings, Ethan.
I don't know.
You don't know. You emailed me stuff about it.
I did.
You did.
I'm thinking with sand here.
You're thinking with sand.
I'm with sand.
How about a 3D remake of Buck Rogers?
Oh yeah.
Done by one
Paul W.S. Anderson
of Mortal Kombat fame.
Mortal Kombat was just Event Horizon.
I liked Mortal Kombat.
The first Alien versus Predator, the first Resident Evil. So he sort of hit and miss.
Yeah.
But anyway, we saw Death Race.
Yep. And it's gonna be 3D, so I mean that could be a really cool movie. It could suck. It's like any.
He was also briefly attached to a Castlevania movie, but it died.
Yeah. I heard about all that.
Interesting. It'd be hard to work the whole Belmont. I guess it wouldn't be that hard. I mean, it's basically Pat Nelson.
Oh yeah, it's better than giving it to Uwe Boll.
Yeah. Which was in discussion.
Sorry, I just had an embolism.
Isn't there a petition going around to prevent Uwe Boll from ever making another movie?
Yeah, but the last movie was such tanked so badly. He's back to making low-budget independent films.
What movie is this?
But he almost always makes money. Because he doesn't make his movies. He doesn't spend a lot of money on it. He does it through
shows.
I know. And he does like some tax thing where he films them somewhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't spend a lot of money, and then everyone wants to go see the new horrible Uwe Boll movie, and they make it. They keep him working. I'm not positive I've seen one of his movies, to tell you the truth. I mean, I understand I'm better for it.
What's the common opinion? I can't think of a name of him that he's made off the top of my head.
No, I know.
House of the Dead, Alone in the Dark.
Haven't seen it.
Nope.
Blood Rain.
Haven't seen it.
Well,
In the Name of the King.
Haven't seen it.
Haven't seen
it
In the Name of the King.
Yeah.
Blood Rain was fun.
Postal.
It's hard to imagine that Blood Rain was cheap. Like, there was a lot of special effects and vampires and werewolves and stuff.
Special effects are getting cheaper and cheaper and cheaper these days. So, what else? What else? What else? What else?
What was the Green Lantern news?
Amanda Waller.
I'm excited. I mean, it's really cool they're going to be putting Amanda Waller in. She's a character I really like a lot, and it's just something that I did not expect to see happen, especially didn't expect to see it in the Green Lantern movie. But by God, she better be in Batman 3. Her and Batman have a beautiful rapport.
Well, it seems like they're going that route with the DC stuff. She's got a trying to internalize it and do what Marvel's doing.
She's got a multiple picture deal.
Yeah.
She's got a multiple picture deal. I haven't looked up Hugo Weaving to see if they've gotten any further with that.
I haven't seen any official announcement yet.
I haven't been looking either, so... hey.
But we should get on with this.
Okay, so we are going to be coming on next to our top six. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'll discuss our top six favorite of the Harry Potter films in order.
Yep.
And we are back with the top six, where we are going to be discussing our top six favorite of the Harry Potter movies in order. As of this date, as of this filming, there are only six movies, so it kind of works out. I'm going to jump right into it, and I'm going to say my number six most favorite of the Harry Potter films would be... I haven't really thought about this too much. I'm just kidding. My least favorite of the Harry Potter films is honestly the original. It's the Philosopher's Stone. I say that basically because, you know, obviously they're still trying to figure things out. It has a very kid feel to it. It's very, you know, it's very poorly acted by the leads. And, you know, do not get me wrong, I own it. I watch it. I watch it multiple times. But in terms of everything, I probably like watching it the least out of all six of the films. And I do, like I keep saying, I do watch it. I do like it. It did have Richard Harris as Dumbledore, who yep. passed away right before the release of the second film.
Yep.
And then it was replaced by Michael Gambon.
Who is awesome.
Who is
I
my
love
favorite.
Michael Gambon.
I think he is. I like him better.
He's a wonderful Dumbledore.
I like the one in...
you like Richard Harris better?
Yeah, I thought he was
I like Michael Gambon better.
It's two different kinds of Dumbledore.
Yeah,
it is. To me, what the Dumbledore I saw in the book was Michael Gambon. I mean,
I agree.
I was scared of Mike Gambon. I thought I could break Richard Harris in half. Michael Gambon is threatening when he needs to be in those films. Mm-hmm. Like when he tells all the kids to shut up in the hall.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, he is a really...
Richard Harris did his own version of it as, you know, the sort of Gandalf-esque, you know, wise old man thing. And Michael Gambon is a bit more playful.
Yeah.
And he can be a bit more dangerous.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's a scene in the fourth book. You know, spoilers, by the way. We're not going to worry about this. We're going to talk about stuff that happened.
We assume at this point.
The boat sinks and Rosebud's
sled.
Yeah. So we're not going to worry about spoilers. I'm sorry if you have not seen the films, if you have not read them, skip it. Go out, read them.
Don't turn us off. Though.
No. You go ahead and turn us off, but go ahead, watch them, read them, and then watch the show. Wow, where's my point? At the end of the fourth book, there's a scene when Barty Crouch Jr. / Mad-Eye Moody is exposed as the bad guy, and he's about ready to kill Harry, and Dumbledore walks in the room, and he kicks the door open, and he's on Barty Crouch in a flash, and there's a line, I don't remember it, but, you know, Harry's like, you know, the kind old man that he remembers that he's been learning from all these years was gone, and in his place stood a fierce warrior. And that's what always sinks in my mind about Harry, about Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. So, moving on, Ethan, what would be your least favorite?
My least favorite one would have to be Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah? Okay. Somewhat
for the same reasons as yours, it's just, I found that movie really boring.
Yeah.
The first movie still had that flavor of wonder in it, but the second one just sort of seemed blah.
See, I have to, and I agree with you, and you know what? What would your number
say? My number six is actually Prisoner of Azkaban.
Wow. Okay.
I also... It was hard for me to make my decisions, actually, because I liked all of them fairly equally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so
and I'm saying the exact same thing. I like all the
I think we all collectively like all the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I made my decision kind of off the fact that I didn't like Sirius Black as a character.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I love Gary Oldman.
I can't say he does no wrong in my book, but pretty close.
Oh no, he does wrong.
He does wrong in my book, but I love Gary Oldman. And I see. What
I love Bruce Campbell, but he does wrong.
Oh, good. Christopher Lee.
How could
love
Bruce
him.
Campbell
horrible
do
movies.
Wrong.
He does wrong.
What has Bruce Campbell ever done wrong?
Oh my God. We're not going to get. Maybe we need to do a Bruce Campbell special.
Go watch Alien Apocalypse.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, back to Wizards.
So, okay, your least favorite, you didn't like him. My number five, and which is why I cut Ethan off, and I do apologize, is because my
I'll meet you later.
That's fine. My number five is The Chamber of Secrets. But it ended up becoming my second favorite for the exact same reasons that it became your least favorite, but it won out over the Philosopher's Stone just for the fact of the monumental improvement in Daniel Radcliffe's acting. That first...
to clarify, the first film in the first book was released here in the U.S. as Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
I'm sorry, I did that, didn't
and,
I?
And abroad it was the Philosopher's Stone.
Which is what I just said. I call it the Philosopher's Stone. I'm sorry, guys. Sorcerer's Stone.
It is the original
title. Philosopher's Stone, it's the same
thing. It's the same thing. But it was just a monumental improvement in Daniel Radcliffe's acting.
I agree.
See, I was scared watching the first one that I was going to have to deal with, this horrible acting for seven more films. And then I saw the second one, I go, okay, I can deal with this.
Right.
And that was that. So that's why that's my set. For the same reasons. For the exact same reasons. It was really good. It was good. I liked the way the snake looked. I always had a beef.
It looked better than the anaconda.
Sure it did.
It had Jenny in it.
I never liked the way that the Sword of Godric Gryffindor looked. I thought it looked like a toy.
It did look.
And it becomes like really, really relevant later on. And I'm having a hard time seeing some of this cool shit happen. It's cool Smurf happen a little bit later on when.
He's doing certain the Smurf thing.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, that's
how you write Gamer Saving Podcast.
All right, I'll give you a buck. Hey, all right, what would you say is your second least favorite?
My second least favorite?
Yes, sir.
Is going to be Goblet of Fire.
Really? Okay. On what grounds?
I thought it was a little bit, the Goblet of Fire was a little bit, it seemed like it moved around a little bit more, wasn't as cohesive as some of the other ones, like the storyline was, there was a lot of stuff that happened in Goblet of Fire, they covered a lot of ground, all the books had a lot of ground to get covered.
Have you read the books?
Yeah, I have actually read all the books, except for the last one, actually.
Death of the Hallows.
Yeah, I decided to read it after I watched the movies, just so I could... being the better of the two, no matter how we slice it.
Yeah.
But I didn't think they did as good a job in Goblet of Fire bringing it together. It seemed like it was they were doing the one thing, and then they moved to the other thing, and then the tournament was separate from the,
With everything they had to cut out of that movie, I'm as amazed that it is as well put together as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of parts of it that... When we talk about omissions from the films, there's some things that I'm really amazed that Rowling allowed to be cut out, like Spew. I mean, it's a huge thing. The Society for Protection of Elfish Warfare.
Nary a word.
What? Nary a word. It's relevant later. And Peeves the Poltergeist.
Yeah, Peeves.
He wasn't really relevant, though. I could see him being cut out, but he was really well-liked. I mean, you like to hate him because he's annoying as hell.
Right, but he's a fun character.
He's a fun character. And he is in the DVD release, the director's cut of the Sorcerer's Stone, in a cutscene.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, and I think he's actually in if you put in your DVD and watch it, you can actually see him. Okay, so that gives me back to fourth favorite of the films?
Well, I haven't done my fifth.
Oh, you haven't?
No, you skipped me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I don't mind.
Take it personally.
There you go.
My fifth favorite would be the Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Okay.
Really. Fun, whimsical movie, but there are better ones.
Oh, yeah, sure.
They've gotten better. So.
Oh, they've gotten a lot better.
I mean, and it's kind of hard to watch it at various points because it's just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Like just some of Mr. Radcliffe's just awful child acting is not good. Okay, so now I'm on to my fourth.
Now you're on your fourth.
So, guys, I didn't really figure this out in advance. I know my least favorite and most favorite. But I'd have to say that I'd probably give it to the Order of the Phoenix. And I say that because, without a doubt, the Order of the Phoenix is my least favorite book. It's hard to get through. There's a lot of inner monologue of Harry being, jealous and kind of like a little brat, really. Mm-hmm. And... It was a really long book, the longest of all the books, and yet it was the shortest of the films. And I actually thought they took what I thought was a boring book and actually made it a kind of exciting movie. Our friend Mike says that he really did dig the fight between Voldemort and Dumbledore in the end. And it's a good fight. It's pretty cool. It is cooler in the book, as Ethan's trying to say. But it is cool. It looked nice. There's just lots of things about it I liked. I give that movie that prop for, you know, taking a boring book and making it into an exciting movie. And I loved Umbridge. I loved reading the character of Umbridge. I loved the character of the movie. She was just so dreadfully nasty.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Just wanted
God.
To strangle that woman.
Oh, man. She was such a great villain. Such a great villain. Oh, man. She's awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, that's my fourth. That's my fourth pick.
Number four. You want me to do it or Shane?
I went with Chamber of Secrets. I had a really hard time setting this order because I like them all fairly equally.
I don't like them equally, but I know my favorite and my least favorites.
Yeah, and Chamber of Secrets I put down as fourth just because I didn't think it was as exciting. Maybe I think was what my decision
Chamber
was.
Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah, it was probably the slowest.
Still introduction of Jenny Weasley for one thing. I thought. Yeah, well, I mean, she was shown in the first, but it was her true introduction, and it was pretty stale.
Yeah.
And she's getting better. She's getting very beautiful. Really gummy smile, though. It's kind of weird.
Gummy?
Yeah, like she smiles, you see more gum than you do teeth.
Oh, like the...
Whatever. But yeah, okay. Ethan?
My number four would have to be Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay.
I think thematically it was a dark movie, and really got
possibly
sort
the darkest.
Of overhyped for me, because it's Alphonse Cuarón, and it was just sort of a jarring change from the first two movies that it kind of took me out of the whole fantasy of the movie, you know?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It was good, but I sort of missed that whimsy that was in the first two.
Okay.
So that would be my number four.
Okay. So I hit number three now. See, my number three would have to be Goblet of Fire. I like Goblet of Fire a lot. Do not get me wrong. I was kind of off-put by the casting of Brendan Gleeson as Mad-Eye Moody, Alistair Moody, because I envision him as older. I mean, obviously, you know, watching our show and seeing my casting couches, I always seem to think of people as maybe older than they are.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked him. I didn't like his look. I thought he played the character very well, but I didn't like the way that they made him look. Like, that he had, like, that metal thing on his head holding his eye in place, and it's just supposed to be, like, an oversized electric blue eye, and his leg was made out of metal in the movie, when in the book it was like a wooden claw, and they actually talked about it looked like it was just like carved out of a chunk of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
Overall though, it was like they made decisions in it like that weren't in the book, like him fighting the dragon. In the book they never got out of the arena, but him actually breaking the chain and flying all around and doing all that was a really exciting and an unexpected thing from a book I've read before, and it was neat to see that. Like I said, I felt there were things that got cut out that I would like to have seen stay. I would have liked to have seen. I'm really surprised about Spew. It'd probably be boring in a movie, but it is very relevant later on.
Yeah.
They came really damn close to cutting out Rita Skeeter, and there was massive fan backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up getting inserted at the last moment. They cut out a lot of subplots that were overall irrelevant, but it ended up working out in the end. It's a well-made movie. I like watching it, and that's why it's my number three. Ethan, or I'm sorry, Shay.
My name's not Ethan.
I'm just used to Ethan going next for some reason, even though he always goes next.
I went with, for three, I went with Order of the Phoenix.
Why?
I don't really recall it that well, actually.
Well, hey,
I remember I remember liking bits and pieces of it, but I also don't remember it very well. It obviously didn't burn itself into my memory, which is something that one of my measures of how well I like a movie is if I walk away from it, I'm just like,
There were some things about Order, you know, like I didn't get onto it, but I really like Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort a lot. I mean, he's kind of terrifying, and he didn't want to do the movie. I mean, why didn't he want to do it? Because it was just like, you know, it just seemed like it just wasn't something he was interested in. And then he ended up talking to Mike Newell. Yeah, Mike Newell, and he ended up talking him into it because he didn't like the previous three films.
Okay.
And then he ended up talking him into it, and now he's loving it. He likes it that kids are scared of him. He had to shave his armpits for the role, and I guess he like keeps his armpits shaved.
That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. It's methody, I guess.
Yeah, I guess that is Lucky Charm, Dirty
Very
Socks
cool.
type
Very
of thing.
Cool. Ethan?
My number three would be The Half-Blood Prince.
Okay.
For a lot of the same reasons. It just wasn't a memorable film for me.
See that?
There's a lot of exposition in that one. It's a lot of setting up for the next one for me.
Yeah.
And it just didn't come together for me. And I was sort of looking forward to this nice fight at the end of the movie.
Sure,
and
sure.
It just sort of was like, and it's over.
Yeah, I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
I still like the movie. But,
For a lot of the same reasons, The Half-Blood Prince is my number two. And the reason that I put it so high on the list is there were things about it that I loved. Even last week, he just kind of shooed me off with it, but I said that I liked the fight between Harry and Snape better at the end of that because of...
I don't even remember that fight.
Well, see, and that's just it, is we're different people.
It's like, yeah, there was a fight?
Yeah.
Did that happen?
There wasn't a fight. I mean, Snape kills Dumbledore. Snape killed Dumbledore, and...
Yeah. I remember from the book, Snape didn't see him. He was, in the book, he was under the invisibility cloak.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And, okay, that's... Okay, guys, full on... Spoiler dead here, okay? I'm going to spoil the hell out of it.
Yeah, you should be watching this.
You don't know this shit, dude. So if you don't want to know the way these books end, go upstairs.
You can't really spoil things for me. I really appreciate just seeing how things come out.
Duh!
You can tell me the end of a movie,
okay.
And I'll still want to see it. Like,
Snape kills Dumbledore.
Usual Suspects spoiled for me, and I still enjoyed the movie.
Oh, it's an awesome movie.
Very good movie, but we're not talking about it.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Wizard World.
Alright, Snape kills Dumbledore, and there was this big campaign in between the 6th and the 7th books about whether Snape is a good guy or a bad guy.
Yep.
And at the end of the
friend or foe.
Yeah, friend or foe. I have a friend button still, but I was always on the, I thought he was a good guy, and I was wrong, and he was a good guy. Snape ended up being a good guy. I was completely wrong about why I thought he was.
Yeah.
I thought he was for the simple fact of why the people that believed him in the books believed him, because Dumbledore trusted him.
Oh.
So, all this being said, in the books, and once again, spoiling, Snape gets killed at the end of the book before the truth is revealed, and I actually thought that he was a bad guy. I mean, they had me that much convinced that he was a... I need to quit pointing the fucking gun at the camera.
Calm down.
That he was a bad guy. And in the book... In the movie, something about the performance of Alan Rickman, who I love, I have no doubt in my mind that he did not want to kill Dumbledore. None. That he did it, he's just like, bam, and he was just like, you could tell that he was... remorseful about it. In the book, he did it cold, quick, and just, you're dead.
Yeah.
Killed his ass. And the whole, and like what Ethan brings up with him actually seeing him, no, Harry was frozen underneath of the invisibility cloak by Dumbledore, and then that was actually relevant in the books, because when Dumbledore died, he got unfrozen immediately. That's how Harry knew he was dead. And so that's one of my biggest beefs with it. Mm-hmm. Michael Gambon deserved some kind of praise for that movie. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say Oscar nomination or something, but maybe a blockbuster award. I thought he was really good.
But Shay, what's your number two?
Yeah.
My number two is Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Because we all know that philosophers and sorcerers are basically the same thing. I liked it. I like new stuff. I like the introductory things. I like to see the beginning of things. I'm very much a fan of that kind of literature. Like, I like to see the beginning of a story, and so that's one of the reasons. That's the reason I put it up as high as I did.
Very good.
All right. Well, my number two would be The Order of the Phoenix. And I'd have to say that the book is one of my least favorites.
It is
a hard book
favorite
to go through, but I also sort of look at it in the vein of the age of Harry and the age of, at that time, that's what you're going through.
I understand that.
Thing.
It doesn't mean I want to read
and
about it.
And I thought
it.
The movie captured that, but the movie took a... relatively internalized emotional book and turned it into some excitement for me.
I agree with that.
And it had a very cool ending. It was exciting. I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Yeah. And, back on my number two, I'm sorry, guys, but real quick, I need to say this because the whole reason I got on that whole pontification, tirade, was I was by far the most disappointed in The Half-Blood Prince because it was by far my most favorite book. Because, you know, I read the first book and then, you know, get all the way up to the sixth book. And the sixth book, it was back to the roots of Harry Potter. He was back to blaming Malfoy for everything and thinking Snape was up to something. Boom. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
Yeah, back where we were. Actually, we're back to you for your favorite.
Numero uno.
Have you done your number?
I did my two. Yeah.
My number. I mean, obviously, if you guys are keeping track at all, there shouldn't be any surprise that my favorite would be the Prisoner of Azkaban. It is my second most favorite of the books, second only to, like I said, The Half-Blood Prince, because The Half-Blood Prince, like I said, returns to the roles. I liked the whole way that it went down in the book. Movie-wise, the first two books, you know, be that as they may, be how they were created, felt very American to me. And the Prisoner of Azkaban actually felt like a British production. It looked British, it was acted British, it was shot British. I like seeing them in their street clothes.
Alfonso Cuarón isn't British.
I understand that, but the movie seemed British. And, what I'm saying, though, is I really
he
enjoyed
acted,
it.
You see? He was
acting behind the camera.
Acting.
No.
He acted British. Okay.
He acted, he directed British.
He directed British.
I don't know.
He acted like he was directing British.
It felt like a British film to me for the first time. The first two felt like, you know, a bland American production, and this actually felt...
I would agree with that.
And this one actually felt more along the lines of what I felt like watching the movie. And what's weird is the thing about it that did it for me was... A big thing about it was the clothes, and a big thing about it was the fact that they used a lot of practical effects in place of CGI. That's why it's my most favorite. Sorry, guys. Shay?
Okay. My favorite, and this is sort of a cop-out, is the...
Half-Blood Prince, right?
Half-Blood Prince, and the reason being is I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
Well. So obviously it must be the best.
Oh, God.
It's gotta be.
I'm looking forward to seeing it the most.
Yeah. So.
Okay, well, my number one is Goblet of Fire.
Okay.
I loved that one. It was my favorite book. And
probably the most fun to watch.
It was definitely the most fun to watch. It was exciting. It had some great stuff happening.
No boobs.
It had Mad-Eye Moody. No boobs.
No boobs.
It was a change of pace from the first three books with the tournament going on.
Yeah.
And there's really going, okay, oh, they're doing Quidditch again, da-da-da. No, this time it's this whole tournament thing going on. And you had Mad-Eye Moody in there, who seemed,
awesome.
And then he's...
I also like Remus.
The reason I like it so much is at the end of the book and end of the movie, the character you've grown to love of Mad-Eye Moody isn't Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah.
And so you're going, I love Mad-Eye Moody. But that wasn't Mad-Eye Moody.
I love Barty Crouch Jr., who's the bad guy.
Yeah.
That's a really twist.
That is my biggest bitch about all the films, is the fact that Mad-Eye Moody, at the end of the book, got kissed by the thingy, by the Dementor. And, you know, it sucked out his soul. They made no mention of that in the book. They just acted like they sent his ass back to Azkaban.
No, not Mad-Eye Moody.
I'm sorry, you're right. See, I was doing it backwards.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Barty Crouch Jr. was given a Dementor's kiss, and it really pissed a lot of people off because he didn't have to pay for his crimes, which led to the resurrection of Voldemort and the death of Cedric Diggory.
Yeah.
So, and that was something I thought, that was my biggest beef about all the movies, honestly, was I really wanted to see that put in there. But yeah, I agree. I mean, it was very well cast. I like Brendan Gleeson. I just didn't like his look, but that's personal preference. What's her name? Frances Delator as the big woman. Madame Maxime. Awesome casting.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome casting.
I just thought it was a great ensemble.
Yeah.
It really worked.
No, I like it a lot.
I like it a lot.
But yeah, that would be... So we got more time to talk about stuff?
Nope.
No? Okay. Now we're going to move on to our new segment that we call Versus.
Versus.
Where we discuss what would happen if Harry Potter and Anakin Skywalker
squared off
in Mortal Kombat. Okay, and we are back with Versus, where we are going to discuss what would happen if one Harry James Potter, chosen one of the Wizarding World, squares off against Anakin Skywalker.
The prophesied one.
The prophecy
chosen
one. So, guys, there's lots of different ways to look at this. There are ways of looking at it that both of them have one-hit kill abilities.
Yes.
You know, Anakin Skywalker could knock off Harry Potter's head with a lightsaber.
Whoop, whoop,
whoop. And that's that.
Mr.
Harry
Potter. Whining too much about
if
it.
If he wasn't whining too much. Harry does a lot of whining, too.
Harry does a hell of a lot of whining.
Who would win in a whining contest?
Yeah. That might be the discussion there.
And then I know in the books, there are times I just wanted to smack Harry upside the head.
Me too, especially in the fifth book. However, I do feel that, you know, like I said, Harry's got the one-hit kill of Avada Kedavra. So we got to look at that.
And it's ranged.
And it is ranged. So we do have that.
Harry can really do anything he wants, really.
Yeah, within reason.
He's a wizard.
He still has to hit with the wand, is the problem.
He does still have to hit with the wand.
True.
Which does not have the same range as the lightsaber.
True. But Anakin has the Jedi speed going for him.
Yes, he does.
And that could really make it.
Beat
right
Avada Kedavra.
You know, speed kills. I mean, if you can hit somebody faster, then you're gonna win. They could be 10 times as powerful as you. But if you pull it off faster, it's gonna be a kill. If they can get their kill strike on fast.
When it comes down to the martial prowess of both of them, I would say that you could take Anakin Skywalker and Harry Potter and, you know, strip them down to just bare clothes, throw them in a cage, and give them both a stick.
If you start putting in baby oil, then
discussion. If you threw them both in there with a stick, Anakin would kill the living.
Oh yeah! Oh my God! Harry could not take him with this.
Anakin is battle hardened. Yeah.
Anakin's a warrior.
Anakin's a warrior.
Harry is a kid.
He's a kid. Jock.
See, what I'm looking at, there's also
really it. He's a wizard jock.
He's a wizard jock.
I mean,
the wizard nerd is Hermione.
She's the nerdiest. Then it comes down to it. Anakin is a simpleton. He's a fucking idiot.
He is. Well, no, he killed a droid when he was a kid.
He has the overconfidence problem.
He's got the overconfidence problem, which Harry has a little bit of. He is a little overconfident, but he's nothing like Anakin.
I wouldn't say really overconfident is he just lets his emotions take him.
Yeah, he's a very emotional
person.
I'm
pissed off, so I'm going to go do this.
I think you throw them both in a steel cage, give them sticks, Anakin would kill the shit out of them.
Yes.
I think that Harry Potter could think his way. He would outsmart and he would outmaneuver Anakin in any fight. And what I am doing is just to make it a little bit more fair, I'm putting Anakin at about the episode 3 age of 20, and I'm putting Harry about the age of
the end of Deathly Hallows.
About 17, something like that. That's a bit, you know, I mean, I can be like, you know, 20, I can do like Darth Vader versus 12-year-old Harry Potter. The end. So, yeah, that's the way I'm looking at this. And
Storm versus Galactus.
Yeah, the end. Oh, yeah, what are we talking about now? When it comes down to it, you know, martial prowess, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. And I think the thing that's going to have to be the deal breaker in this is going to be, you know, actually the meaning of the prophecies. That's why, you know, we decided to actually discuss this, because they are both chosen ones. They are both creatures of...
One will bring balance to the forest.
One may not live while the other survives. And so by that rationale, Anakin could not kill Harry Potter. Plain and simple.
I mean, you could argue in there that something would happen to interfere, which is what happens in the books.
Which is
the Deus Ex Machina type of...
And
there is always something there that... saves Harry.
Thank you. Yeah, there is always something there that saves Harry. But at the same time, there's nothing saying that Harry killing Anakin couldn't bring balance to the Force somehow. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, you wouldn't get Luke out of Anakin.
Well,
I guess
you could,
because you could set it at the after.
I said at the end of the Revenge of the Sith.
We're all comfortable with the idea of the Anakin from the first three films, the prequel trilogy, not being the badass Darth Vader that we all love.
Yeah.
No!
I agree with that.
But
what was his name?
Who?
The guy who played Anakin.
Hayden Christensen.
Oh, man.
He's just a kid.
He honestly, to be perfectly honest, I mean, I don't want to knock him as an actor or whatever, but he honestly made me like Darth Vader less. He really did.
Actually,
I really liked Darth Vader, and then I saw him do it.
Entirely, that's not Darth Vader.
Yeah, it is.
This is Darth Vader in New Hope, Empire, and Jedi.
If you're going to give me a prequel, Sith, give me Dooku any old time of the day. But at any rate...
Much more interesting character.
Even than Maul, people. Aaron at redphonezone.com, Darth Maul is boring. Okay.
Darth Maul sucks.
sucks. He can suck.
I said it.
Yeah. He does suck. I mean, well, he does suck. He's just boring.
I thought he was kind of neat, but
he served his purpose.
He might as well have been wearing a red Sith outfit.
Harry and Anakin. I got to go with Harry. Basically because of the prophecy. You know, basically, Anakin cannot kill Harry because of the prophecy. Nothing saying, like I said, nothing saying that whatever. And I do, and this is not a bias to me. I don't particularly like Harry Potter the kid, the character. I like the universe. The same thing with Star Wars. I love Star Wars. Ask Ethan, ask Shay. I love Star Wars. Don't really like Anakin, and even before the prequel trilogy, I wasn't that hot on Darth Vader, really. I mean, he's cool. I like his suit. I think that I don't know that he deserves to be at the top of the best villains ever list. I'm not sure.
Oh, I'd put Darth Vader up there.
I don't.
He's up there.
He's up there, but he wouldn't be the number one to me. Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter.
Witch of the West, something like that.
Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, probably Hannibal Lecter.
Definitely be Darth Vader.
Yeah, okay, but you know what? Fava
beans in a nice can.
You know who can fall into my top five movie villains of all time these days? Voldemort. He's pretty cool.
I think we've got top six on our hands for that. My vote is
Harry, and I feel comfortable that's not a bias. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, I don't particularly like either of them. Just in terms of the confines of their prophecies, I think that Harry would take his ass out.
I think you hit it on the head there, is that the prophecy is going, the powers that Harry has at his disposal are not just his, they're that, like, everyone who has ever loved him and everyone who ever wishes him well sends him, like, this wellspring of power that is going to back him up in the corner, basically.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, and I would say Harry Potter would win, and not because
it's because you hate the shit out of Episode 2.
I do hate the shit out of Episode 2.
That's my least favorite.
We've got to get that shit out of there.
I'm trying to approach this very rationally.
Me too.
And really for the same reasons you guys are saying, is something always saves Harry.
Yeah, it does.
Now, if we're talking after the death of Voldemort and whatnot...
Anakin would kill the shit out of him in 4 seconds.
But
before 4 seconds.
I don't think fate would let it happen.
No, right. I guarantee you it wouldn't.
In a pitch down drag out fight, it would be Anakin.
Well, no, I mean, he's a battle hardened warrior.
The fight would last all of 3 seconds, and Harry would be in two or three pieces.
Yeah.
Before he could say Expelliarmus.
Yeah.
And if he did, it's Expelliarmus, really cool. And I have it back.
Yeah.
Wow.
that'd be a neat fight to see, though, a wizard versus a Jedi. We need to make that. Let's just figure out how to get that immediately.
Yeah.
Get to it. So
we got the wand. All we need is a lightsaber.
Okay, yeah. So we say that it looks like it's unanimous.
We generally say that the prophecy is going to protect Harry.
Without the prophecy, it's a different story.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just it. Is, you know, they're so hard to, you know, put together anyway. Because
we don't know where Harry's going to go. We don't know where he's going to
develop. Yeah, we do.
Is he dead at the end of the damn thing?
No.
Okay.
He's a normal fucking wizard at the end of the Deathly Hallows.
Dumbledore was a normal wizard. And
bullshit.
He was really badass.
No, Dumbledore was never a normal wizard. He was gifted.
Okay.
Harry is a flat-out normal wizard with the right fucking tools to take out Voldemort.
If you watch it you haven't read the Deathly Hallows yet.
You really need to.
So, you don't really know about the wand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
which is something that this kind of sucks. I mean, I don't want to. I mean, this is bad of you, viewers, but I feel more. I feel more bad about spoiling this for Shay than I do you guys, because you can turn it off. He's got to be here.
Yeah.
But yeah, the wand is a very relevant thing that Ethan is pointing out. The hollows are a very relevant thing.
Okay.
Because Dumbledore had that, he went.
Yeah, plain and simple. It can't be beaten.
That wand
cannot be beaten.
Okay.
That's the magical thing in it.
Yeah.
Cannot be beaten.
As long as you have the wand,
Do we have time to discuss something?
Trick.
We can talk about it in the outro.
Okay, let's talk about it in the outro.
Okay.
We're going to do a salt promotion for my show now.
Uh-oh.
So,
GamersHavenPodcast.com, where they like to rape small children.
What?
Isn't that the... Oh, wait a minute.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, it's entirely consensual.
Oh, okay.
Entirely consensual.
Oh, okay. Good show, though.
That's good. Well, what do you think about it?
So, what do you do for fun?
Me? Oh, I play games.
Oh, I like games.
Whoa, no, I mean tabletop game, you know, with dice and stuff, you know, like D&D.
Smasher!
What's it something I said?
Right.
Sir, I think you should leave.
Hey, buddy, don't worry. You'll find a Gamer's Haven around the corner.
The Gamer's Haven Podcast at gamershavenpodcast.com.
Yes, that's a very good special.
And we're back.
And we are back with the final section. This is not a segment. We're just going to be our little outro where we say goodbye and happy trails and all that stuff.
And talk about what we'll do next week.
Next week is going to be issue 007. So naturally, what are we discussing but James Bond?
Bond. James Bond.
Junior! Oh, wait a minute.
Junior?
Hey!
Okay.
There is no such thing as a James Bond Junior. He's sterile.
James Bond Junior. There was also brother of James Bond.
Yes, sir.
How did he... who's James Bond Junior?
He's his nephew or some shit. He's a stupid-ass cartoon.
Anyway, it's a cartoon.
Horrible cartoon.
Brother of James Bond is not a cartoon. No. Anyway. We're not talking about James Bond, we're still talking about Harry Potter.
Actually, we are going to talk... But yeah, we're just going to get that out of the way. Yeah, next week, James Bond. We're going to do the top six, where we pick our favorite James Bonds. What was the second one going to be? Are you going to characterize him?
Yeah, I was going to...
Yeah, we're going to bring back the much-loved characterization segment, where we're going to put James Bond into a Dungeons & Dragons setting, which will be interesting. This is going to be... This one I'm actually really interested in, other than others. So back to Harry Potter. As I was just telling Ethan when we were doing our little segue, I haven't really got to discuss this book with anybody that's ever read it before. And what did you think of the way it ended in terms of the final battle between Harry and Voldemort? I'm sorry, I call him Voldemort. I listen to the audiobook, so that's what Jim Dale calls him. And
I listened to the audiobook
in
the last one, too.
Yeah, but it's just stuck in my head.
No,
I like it the way it sounds. Though.
It's been a while since I listened to the audiobook, though. So
do you want me to spell it out for you and Shay and the viewers what happened?
Go right ahead.
Okay, so the Deathly Hallows were three things. They were a Cloak of Invisibility. I will not get into the story. That would take probably half an hour. Cloak of Invisibility, the Elder Wand, which was actually Dumbledore's wand, and then there was the Resurrection Stone, which was the crystal that was in the Ring of Slytherin. So blah 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 blah. The cloak and the stone are irrelevant to this point right now. What it was is there was the Elder Wand. It was a wand that was unbeatable. It could not be beaten, which brings up a lot of weird questions about how Dumbledore got it to begin with, but we're not going to go there. But he ended up, basically, he got it, and then the guy that originally got it, they tricked Death, and he ended up getting an unbeatable wand out of it. And he got killed in his sleep, and somebody took it from him. And then, pretty much this happens for, years and years and years and years, and it gets known by different names, the Elder Wand, the Death Stick, etc. And, it ends up, falling into obscurity, and nobody knows what it is. And then the great evil wizard Grindelwald, Mr. Dumbledore, who, beside him being in love with, which actually might be a different discussion altogether, you're aware of that, right?
Yeah.
Dumbledore was in love with Grindelwald, and Dumbledore was gay. But at any rate, he was.
Whatever.
Who cares? I don't care who he does. But at any rate, Grindelwald found out about it, got it, and then there was this whole thing that happened, blah, 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 blah. Dumbledore got it. And then the whole thing happened with, at the end of the novel and the movie of the Half-Blood Prince, Draco Malfoy disarmed Dumbledore, becoming the true master of the Elder Wand. Okay? And then in the Deathly Hallows book, Harry de-wanded Malfoy, becoming the true master of the Elder Wand. Dumbledore found out about the Elder Wand and found out that it was buried with Dumbledore, went and dug his ass up and took his wand and went to go kill Harry because he thought that the fact that they both had twin cores was connected. So blah, 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 a bunch of shit happens, and he ends up killing Snape because he thought, because Snape killed Dumbledore, that he was the true master of the wand. But it turns out that because Harry disarmed Malfoy, he was the true master of the Elder Wand, and so they're facing off with each other, blah, 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 and Harry pulled an Expelliarmus, and Voldemort did a Avada Kedavra, and the spell rebounded on him and killed him. That's how that fight went down. Thoughts, guys? I thought, okay, I'm going to put my thought in. That was a fucking cop-out. I'm sorry. Cop-out. I did not like it that there was this whole entire thing that goes down, and Harry was able to take out the greatest wizard of all time without even getting his hands dirty. I mean, that just, I thought that was a cop-out. And then, honestly,
it was a spell rebound.
It was a spell rebound and
he killed himself.
He killed himself. Harry didn't do it. And, you know, there's more to it than that that I don't really have time or want to get into.
That's like a classic, our hero has never done anything wrong, even to the point
Harry has done, Harry, over the course of the books, has done both the Cruciatus Curse and the Imperius Curse. He has done two of the three Unbreakable Curse, or I mean, the Unforgivables.
Right.
So, he's not perfect. So, I wanted him to pull a fucking Avada Kedavra on him for all the bullshit that he caused over him.
Voldemort.
I would have done it.
Yeah, really.
That's my thought. And Ethan's going to be fine with it.
Yeah, I was fine with it. Because the fight, basically,
the fight was cool.
In the
scene,
the whole fight was awesome.
Oh, no. That,
and
the battle
I didn't feel let down by that. It was just, it felt appropriate.
Okay. Yeah.
So.
Fate of Bellatrix Lestrange. What do you think of that?
Bellatrix Lestrange?
Do you remember what happened there?
No.
Molly Weasley killed her.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like that at all, either. I thought that Neville deserved to take her.
I would agree. I totally was hoping Neville would.
Neville is the bomb diggity motherfucking shit in the Deathly Hallows.
Oh, yeah.
He is awesome.
Neville's
in that
awesome.
I like Neville. Neville is like an action hero in the. I mean, he kills Nagini. He's like the
really
lead.
Comes out and he's
he is the leader of the underground forces in Hogwarts. Mm-hmm. So he is awesome in the Deathly Hallows.
He is awesome.
Oh, I'm really looking forward to that part of the movie. I didn't like the book that much, to tell you the truth. It got really bloodthirsty. I figured the book
sort of read like, oh, I need to wrap all this up now.
Yeah, exactly. And it
sort of dragged on at the very beginning with them wondering about looking for the Horcruxes and stuff. So I'm like,
I thought the
all right, moving on.
I felt the Deathly Hallows felt forced. They actually seemed like an afterthought to me.
Yeah.
She needed a gimmick to throw in
like,
on things.
I need to fill space up until the last fight in this book.
Right.
800 pages.
Pretty much. It was don't get me wrong, I like the book, but it was a huge departure from the other books.
It has the potential to be a just awesome movie.
It does. Pair of movies.
Yeah, pair of movies.
Death of Dobby.
Death of Dobby.
Oh, they killed Dobby.
Saddest scene in all of Harry Potter.
Saddest scene
in all of Harry Potter. And that's in the scene at the end.
I was driving when that scene happened, and I had to stop.
It was so sad.
Like, no, they can't kill him.
He's Dobby.
In my opinion. Would not the scene after Harry buries him, and he's like, I'm going to fucking kill Voldemort, and if I run into Severus Snape on the way, I'm going to take his ass out. Wouldn't that be a perfect way for the first chapter of that movie to end?
I hope that's where...
I really want it to end there. That was
reinvigoration.
You know,
like, real purpose, and this is going to,
Another thing is, like, you know, like, leading up to the book, Rowling said, yeah, people are going to die, and da-da-da-da-da. She wasn't lying. I figured it out. Something like 17 named people died.
Yeah.
Three of them are relevant.
Well, Hermione dies, doesn't she?
No.
Okay.
Her and Ron fuck and stuff.
Lupin
dies. Tonks dies. Crab dies.
Mad-Eye dies.
Well, there's this email that goes around, that went around right when the book.
Oh yeah, I know.
That
yeah.
was like
Hedwig died. Like, Snape.
Mad-Eye dies really early in the book.
He dies like three pages after Hedwig. Once again, he got killed by Bellatrix Lestrange.
You know, I mean, I guess Fred Weasley didn't deserve it, but at least, I mean, Dobby was just so simple. I mean, you know, Dobby was almost not a person. It's like killing a dog, you know?
It's like killing a good dog. Speaking of dogs. Well, so, next week, James Bond special.
Speaking 007. Next week, 007.
Now, speaking of dogs, her dogs are outside. We're good. That has been the Red Phone Zone. Aaron, representing Slytherin, there's our Red Phone. Let your geek flag fly, guys.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye-bye.
5 seconds. Seconds.